My name is Zhaoying Summers. Don't worry about pronouncing Zhaoying. My iPhone auto correct Zhaoying to annoying. People also ask me, why don't you have a Chinese last name? I had one before I got married. I was a hoe.
Why is it not obvious to you?
I grew up in a brothel.
In a brothel with an abusive, both abusive parents being hitting you and striking you. Do you know what happens to your brain with kids' brains when they were hit? Did they ever hit you with an object?
Yes, my mom threw a chair on my forehead. And a dictionary too.
And so what happens when kids are subjected to that, it shatters their regulatory system. Okay. And so they dissociate. Like when this was ever happening to you, do you ever feel like you were like in a dream or watching from above?
Yes, I feel good.
You feel good because you were disconnected from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is a survival strategy that becomes a way of managing unpleasant emotions that's pathological. It's not a good way to manage emotions. It's a good way to survive in that moment. But when it happens over and over, it just becomes the way you manage unpleasant feelings, which are left behind by all those experiences too.
I'm going to cry.
So
I think it makes sense. No, I'm sorry.
I don't think you're going to cry.
No, but I don't want to ruin my makeup.
Then you're not gonna
it kind of makes sense now. Hi, guys. I'm Zhaoying Summers. Welcome back to Tiger MILF Podcast. Today, I have a special guest. He is the most loved doctor in the world, and he's my hero. I love him so much. I already for the very tall, very handsome, very charming Dr. Zhu.
Dr. Zhu, that's me. Good to see you.
Oh, my God, you are here. I'm so happy we made this happen.
I know. It's crazy. We see each other on both coasts. We see each other all over the place. And in my house. You've been to my house on my podcast.
Beautiful house. Your dogs are so spoiled.
They are so spoiled. And we live in the same region.
Yes.
Steph? Yes.
So. Yes. I love your home. It's beautiful. It's like a little escape from Hollywood, but it's also in the center.
Well, but not really. You and I are in the outskirts. Most people that live out this way. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I thought I was going to get a Thai massage. Where isn't that what's all goes on in this neighborhood?
I'm the lady. I'm going to massage you.
Okay, good. But the people that live out in this part of Los Angeles just don't go there where we are. They just don't cross into the San Gabriel Valley. It's very weird.
It's weird. They don't like good food. We have good food there.
They don't know it.
It's okay.
So I was talking to Susan this morning. You know, she is very paranoid about the Chinese Communist Party. My wife, Susan, right? Mm-hmm. And Susan and Zhaoying are good friends. And I started thinking, I think you're an asset for the Chinese Communist Party, and you came to spy on her because she was so vocal about her paranoia. You've been in our house, and I thought, oh, this is how this works. These assets come on in, and then you report back to the People's Liberation Army.
Yes.
So, were we okay? Are we? Are we a significant risk? Or
I place something under your kitchen counter.
I figured we're completely
when
bugged.
I was giving Susan the flowers, also under your vase, areas. Also, you have your cute bar you don't use.
Oh, you put stuff there too?
Yeah. Now your bar is becoming like full of vase flowers.
Yeah. She had a bunch of flowers up there then, yes.
So you guys are really friendly. We like you guys.
We? The PLA?
I wouldn't.
The People's Liberation Army likes us?
I wouldn't explain things, but we think you guys are good.
So good. I can tell Susan to calm down.
Yeah, she's good.
So
the Chinese love her.
Yeah. Good. Every time I see you, you open with, Dr. Drew's going to tell me why am I so fucked up.
I just dying to know.
Why am I so fucked up? And I tell you a few things. And next time we encounter each other, which barely 2 or 3 weeks go by before we don't see each other. And you start with, why am I so fucked up?
Yes.
So I don't seem to be getting through with any of the things I've been offering. So it'll be interesting to see if we can get further today.
That'll be very, very exciting. Mm. And I think I will sacrifice my personal life for all of the people who is fucked up.
Yeah.
So they can feel normal.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's important to look, I think everything medical should be just shared.
I mean, the
fact that Kate Middleton is shrouded in mystery, I knew this was cancer from the beginning, and I'm going to tell you it's ovarian cancer. I just, the only thing you take chemo for immediately after surgery is really, I mean, there's a few other things, but common things, middle-aged woman, ovarian cancer.
But thank gosh, you already have 3 beautiful children on the way.
Yeah, and ovarian cancer is curable. I mean, she could be just fine. It's going to be miserable, but she could be fine. So it's good news, but they're being so weird about it.
They should not be weird about it.
Right?
you should just, they should just call you to the palace and you advise them medically and in terms of PR, what is the best for the palace is for her to admit she has ovarian cancer.
I said, look at my friend Zhao Ying. She says she's fucked up all the time.
Yeah.
And it makes everybody feel better.
Exactly. All the women will be feeling good about it. Mm-hmm. Look how beautiful her hair looks. She looks perfect. Oh, she's a warrior. She's a woman who had the baby. 2 hours later, she stand outside in a beautiful skirt with a baby.
Yeah.
And her husband.
She's your hero.
Yeah, and the Prince William looks tired, and Kate looks great after.
Yeah, just delivered a baby.
Yeah, so she's fine.
She's a warrior.
She's a warrior princess.
I like that, warrior princess.
She is. Yeah. She always giving. She was, an athlete in college.
Athlete, yeah.
And a high school. I think she was like a pickleball. I don't know what it is. She was like really, yeah. I think because she was too hot, so she was bullied in high school. She has to transfer to a different high school.
So in your case, you were bullied by your mom. Were you bullied by other women as well?
I was ugly. I was bullied for being ugly. She was bullied because other rich royalty girls are jealous of her because she was beautiful and athletic.
Kate. But we're trying to bring it back to you. And so were you bullied for being attractive in high school?
Not attractive. I think in high school I already built my persona. I become this unattractive boyish girl with short haircut. Could be a lesbian, but very good at school. So people don't bully me anymore.
And so was that to rebel against your mom trying to make you be pretty?
Yeah, she didn't think it's possible for me to be pretty though. But thank you for assuming that she thinks she can make me pretty. She didn't think I can be pretty at all.
But I'm a little confused because one of the things she was worried about is that you would make out with boys. That was her greatest fear.
Yes.
Right. And yet she wanted you to lose weight and be attractive at the same time.
Yeah, but she also thinks even though I lose weight, I'm still unattractive. But she also thinks ugly girls put out. So she's...
Oh, so she's worried you're going to compensate.
Yeah. Because of my low self-esteem.
I see. So do you have low self-esteem?
Very low self-esteem. Yeah.
So me too. Oh, yeah.
But why is Susan so hot and beautiful and your son so tall and handsome and you have everything and I don't have nothing?
First of all, that's bullshit. You have a lot. But your self-esteem is low enough that you're having to kind of keep up to try to make yourself feel better. So we have to figure out, is that just low self-esteem or is there actually a narcissistic problem here?
I think there is.
Do you have a little narcissism?
I think so.
Okay. Can you empathize with other people and their feelings?
I can.
Okay. Do you have concern for other people and can you be cruel without being concerned?
I'm concerned.
Okay. So you don't lose the capacity to be empathic for other people.
That's right.
You're always empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you give people shit from the stage because you care about them.
I care about them. I also have no patience for weakness though.
No patience for weakness.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing. I'm compassionate. I'm kind.
Yeah.
But when somebody's being weak
and what does weakness
lazy,
look, what does weakness look like?
It breaks my heart.
Well, how do you deal in this state? It's a pandemic here.
Yeah, it's painful.
Driving over here, I was thinking, oh God, what a mess this city is.
I just feel like if there's something I can do, I would expect people to give the same effort. If they don't.
But they don't.
I just kind of disappointed. And if they don't give the same effort, but they still won't do the job, that make me angry.
Okay.
Like at CVS or Costco, you have the girls who are checking out as a clerk. Their nails are longer than Beyonce's nails.
Yes, yes.
And they can't do anything.
Can't type the...
They can't type. They can't unwrap things. They can't... They're just like, ah.
Okay.
So I want to slap them, but I won't. But in my heart, if it's legal, I will slap them.
So is it... It's frustration, really, as much more
I'm very frustrated. I feel bad. I feel bad for the owners of Costco. I feel like they are paying this girl so much money for her nails.
Okay. And then your dad, what was his story?
He's drunk.
And he beat your mom, right, or something?
He beat me.
Beat you?
My mom beat him.
Your mom beat him?
Yes, he beat me.
Give me an example.
So my father is a sweet, handsome man. He's very good looking, and he's very spoiled by my grandparents. They just, he was very good at school. He's gorgeous. He's a boy. They really spoiled him. They think he was just so charming, perfect. So he was so spoiled. He just talked out of anything. Adult activity. He didn't want to work.
Mm.
He never worked, but he loved reading books. He's a genius. He's very smart, very good with poetry, writing, math, like he's just good at school, but he doesn't want to work. He's lazy.
Okay.
So when he's 20, he got married to my mom, who's 19. My mom is a workaholic. So she married up. My father from better family. My mom lost my mother's side of grandpa. My grandpa died when my mom was six. So she grew up with a widow grandma. My grandma was a widow. So she just felt she married up.
And that's where the workaholism kicked in, right?
Yeah, she started working early. And her mom was super sexist. Sexist. My grandmother, my mom's side, against girls? Girls, and she had boys.
But like you say, at least she didn't put her in an orphanage.
Right?
Yeah.
She's lucky, but my mom couldn't eat. There's not enough food at home. And they always give the boys. She's always starving. That's why she said, that's why she's short. But I think that's not right. Why? But she said,
It could be why. It does affect the growth and development.
Yeah, she blamed my height all the time. She's like, why can't you be taller than Eileen Gu? I'm like, mom, I'm taller than you.
Tell her she made you diet too much.
Yeah, exactly. I should be eating more. She took the rest.
Did you have an eating disorder at any time?
I didn't have, but I just, I like to eat. But if I feel bad, I had in high school, I did stick my finger in my throat and throw up.
For how long?
For 6 months. But I still didn't lose a lot of weight. I don't know why.
So you gave up on that?
Yeah, I stopped doing it.
So you're probably binging also? Binge eating, purging?
I eat healthy. So I binge eating chicken feet, so it doesn't really kill me.
Chicken feet?
Yeah. I like the weird Chinese food.
I've never eaten chicken feet.
I'll make it for you.
Okay, please.
Yeah.
So what I'm struggling with is trying to understand the social historical context of your upbringing versus flat out abuse, emotional abuse. It's hard. Because, I mean, your parents lived through the cultural purge and stuff, right? Uh-huh. Your grandparents particularly.
Yes.
And they saw abuse and they survived all that. And people that survived that kind of stuff were traumatized and they passed that trauma down to their kids.
Yes.
And in their head, they're saying, I want her to be strong. I don't want her to, you know, got to be smart, got to be thin, got to be good looking, got to survive. I don't want to, I'm anxious as a parent, so I want to get that all through to her.
Yes.
But they do it in very abusive ways because they went through horrible stuff.
Yes. So my dad is, when they got married, he never worked. He's always drunk. And she is angry at him. But he's not abusive. He's drunk. He likes to be drunk. He's lazy. So when they get in argument, she will hit him. He didn't really hit back. But if I do something wrong, if I didn't do my homework on time, I should be doing it at 6 p.m. and I'm just fooling around, don't do it. And he got frustrated. He'll slap me.
In the face?
Yeah.
Hard? Like where it scared you?
Hard. Normally, it's not going to bleed. One time I was bleeding is that he was very angry because I called his mistress a whore.
His mistress?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was cheating on my mom with a mistress. She had a hotel with a massage. What do you call it? Like a hot spring massage. There's like you can take a bath.
Don't we just call that a prostitute?
Yeah, it's a brothel. Yeah.
And why did you know about that?
I was there. After school, you know, I got dropped off there. I just, sometimes I ride my bike there to do my homework.
And he wouldn't hide it? He'd just be hanging out at the brothel drunk?
Yeah, he's in the front desk. There's an office and his mistress would be hanging out with him. She worked there. But
so you'd take him, I thought he didn't work.
He worked there, but he just hang out there because there's alcohol there.
At a brothel.
So it's
a
brothel.
Pimp?
It's a low key brothel. We have a hotel and a restaurant, and then attached is a place where people can take a bath and get a massage and get other things.
A finish.
So it's like my mom is always busy because she was expanding the business in the city. This is like outskirts of the city. So the manager is there running the business. My father is there drunk because there's alcohol there.
But was he just running the front desk or something? He didn't work.
He's sitting in the front desk to get alcohol. Then he would go to the office. We say office, but where he played mahjong, the Chinese mahjong.
I see. And so they'd send you there just because that's where your dad was, your mom was working.
Yeah, so I go there to do my homework.
And did he expose you to these women?
Yes.
He didn't care?
Yeah.
So when you ask, why are you so fucked up? Why is it not obvious to you?
I grew up in a brothel.
In a brothel with both abusive parents hitting you and striking you. Do you know what happens to your brain with kids' brains when they were hit? Did they ever hit you with an object?
Yes, my mom threw a chair on my forehead. And a dictionary too.
Mm. And so what happens when kids are subjected to that, it shatters their regulatory system. Okay. And so they dissociate. Like when this was ever happening to you, do you ever feel like you were like in a dream or watching from above?
Yes, I feel good.
You feel good because you were disconnected from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is a survival strategy that becomes a way of managing unpleasant emotions that's pathological. It's mm-hmm. not a good way to manage emotions. It's a good way to survive in that moment. But when it happens over and over, it just becomes the way you manage unpleasant feelings,
wow.
which are left behind by all those experiences wow. too.
I'm going to cry.
So
I think it makes sense. No, I'm sorry.
I don't think you're going to cry.
No, but I don't want to ruin my makeup.
Then you're not gonna
it
cry.
Kind of makes sense now.
Well, that's simple.
A lot of sense now because I...
But that's the simple part. The hard part is reaching those parts of yourself that are left behind by all the abuse. They're sort of unattended. And like I feel that you're feeling tight in your stomach, right? Yes?
Sorry.
There's tightness here, yes?
Yeah.
Because I feel it too, right? I can feel what you're feeling. You're not used to having that kind of connection to people.
I just felt like...
Get her some Kleenex, please. Yes, thank
you. I can
you.
Take some hit, and I'm just so cool and great. People are so weak and disgusting. I hate them.
Yeah, but...
I know I'm fucked up. I can't keep...
But you are all those strong things, but the weak and disgusting stuff is some part of yourself that you're trying to keep away.
I think this is not normal. I thought it was normal. I'm just doing my homework. My dad's...
Well, this is what I was saying. It's hard to divorce all that from the social historical moment in which you were raised. There was a lot of shit raining down on people from the history of China and what happened there, you know?
I think one of the worst moments, I make it funny. I think it's funny, but I never thought it was funny. It was one of the most, I think one of the worst moments. It shouldn't be, but for me personally, it was because... looking not attractive, not wanted is something I hated. And my dad's mistress, she's a very attractive girl. When I was hanging out with her, I was like around 11 or 10. I don't remember. But I know she was 17 or 19. Mm. She was very beautiful and charming, but she did not really like me. She likes me in front of him. But whenever she's not around, she does not like me. And one time I really wanted to just like hang out with them. Because my mom hit me, you know, my mom is like busy and tired. I wanted to see if I'm nice to her, he would like me more. Mm. And then my mom would feel bad that she ignored me. My father and I are close. So I'm always trying to do my homework. I would draw a little painting of her. Now I think it's stupid. And she was...
It's not stupid. That's that part of yourself that you think is stupid. Yeah. That was a tender part of yourself.
Yeah. She wanted... She appeared to be nice to me and it was so sweet. And she, you know, they do the haircut. They make the hair like a different color. Her hair like a reddish, very stylish. And I went to get a haircut with her and I wanted to have some red highlights so I can be more popular. Mm-hmm. She got them to cut my hair short. My hair was longer than this.
Is she the one that cut the hair? I thought it was your mom that cut hair short.
She asked the hairdresser. My mom cut it short when I was very young because she think my hair is too silky, too fine. She actually cut it very short.
So this woman, then this woman cut it.
She asked the hairdresser. I was sitting there. She asked her to cut it shorter. I didn't want it, but I didn't want to make her angry. So I said, sure. Mm. Then it's shorter. Then, it was to a point my hair was shorter than yours. Then she... make it into a buzz cut. So she shaved my head. She didn't do it, but she asked him to do it. And she was laughing. She was like, that's so cute that you look like a little soldier, the Chinese soldier boy. And I was crying. And then, you know, we went back to, you would say brothel, but I would say the hotel thing. And my dad came back. I was crying. He's like, why are you crying? I said, my hair is like, he's like, stop crying. You're making her uncomfortable.
So this is where the princess warrior comes in, right? So you have to push all that down and just be strong and be disdainful of that part of yourself that was hurt.
Yeah, I bought a little red beanie. I went to school with a red beanie to cover my
beret,
head.
Beret?
Beret, whatever it is. There's a guy behind me, put off.
Oh.
And everybody's laughing, pointing at me and laughing.
How old are you?
I think it was like around 11.
That's the worst for a girl, especially.
So that was the end of me being nice. I become a different person after that. I know there's impossible for me too, because my mom, she never have time to listen to me explain, because she never had a childhood. She was working when she's married. She was raising children with a drunk husband who's cheating. So I'll tell her things. She won't listen. She won't even listen to me. She just walk away. I think I just decided to, nobody is going to help me.
Right.
I can't trust anybody.
Well, the lack of trust is one of the most common consequences of all this. And that's okay, right? It served you well, except it makes it hard to have close relationships.
Yeah, I'm very
But it makes you a good soldier for the PLA. So you can come to my house and you can bug it and don't even think about it. Just leave all our house completely bugged by the Chinese Communist Party.
I think so. It helped me, I guess, with work, but with close relationship, it's difficult. Especially romantic relationship, it's very difficult.
Well, you talk about being lonely a lot too, right?
I think I'm very lonely.
Yeah, right. And that's the liability. There's several liabilities in all this. I don't think about these things as good or bad or whatever. They just how it's just your experience, and it's how you react to it. It's how everybody reacts to it, right? But they have liabilities. So the liabilities are decreased empathy. Like you lose empathy for other people.
I think so, because my comedy can reflect that.
Which is good, right? You're using it, right? So I don't want to take that away from you, but you have to be aware of it. Lose empathy, become envious.
I am envious.
You have to be careful with envy. It's very dangerous. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's very unhealthy.
It eats everybody up.
Yeah, it's very unhealthy.
It's okay to be jealous and want something somebody else wants, then go after it. Mm-hmm. But when you're envious, you feel like you want to destroy that person.
I don't want to destroy them. I want to destroy them the Chinese way, is that I make all their friends mine and I give them a better life. And then I envious for people who is doing better than me, but also talk shit about me.
Well, that's just angry. Yeah. Just angry. It's okay.
I'm okay with people talking shit better than me. Whoever is talking shit about me, I will destroy them.
Talk shit about you.
Oh my God, I'll tell you. I wouldn't. I want to use the Chinese way to destroy them.
It's like I get it, but it's still envy. But it's a.
But it take me. It just take too much for me. You know, I should be more chill about it. Somebody talk shit. It's let them talk.
Yeah.
But for me, it hurt me to a level that it shouldn't be that much.
But it's understandable why it would get in that way, right? You've been hurt so many times. But so envy, empathic failure, and then trust in a close relationship is essential, right? To be able to be in a close relationship. So it's going to make you keep everybody at arm's length.
I think if I really let somebody in, I hurt them without me noticing hurting them.
Well, just for but being you're fairly ruthless, right?
Yeah, I think me being ruthless.
Yeah, yeah. And in your ruthlessness, which is an asset, right? It doesn't have to be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You might do it too much in a closeness, but more to keep yourself safe.
Yeah.
And like sabotage the relationship and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's what people do.
Yeah.
And so your husband, was he a nice guy? Was he a good guy? Or was he more like your dad?
He's very different from my dad. That's what attracted me to him.
Because see, that's sort of what happens in this. You end up either being super attracted to somebody that ends up being just like your dad, or you go, I'm not going to do that anymore. I should have a guy like, nice guy, easygoing guy, and then sabotage that.
Yeah, I think he's a very traditional Chinese man. I just don't want to be the victim here. I'm just going to be very honest. So the more honest I am, I think the more it's a very good conversation, because
for
I don't
sure
want to be
like,
he's awful. No, when I met him, he was a very successful, very handsome, charming man who speak English, who worked in America as well. So he understand me, I guess, more. I'm Americanized a little bit. Not all traditional Chinese men would think I'm too much.
You were
too
in Kentucky Western. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't get how you end up in Kentucky, but okay.
It's crazy. When we met, we just fall in love. Yeah. The first sight, he was gorgeous. He's beautiful. He's tall. He's successful. He's a philanthropist.
It's good.
Which I love. My father is drunk, you know.
What went wrong?
I think when I met him, I made it very clear my career is very important to me.
You were doing comedy already?
No. I was just doing acting, trying to break into acting.
Mm-hmm.
And
you tell a great story that I saw on Instagram where you were trying out for Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah.
And you were like,
you don't like my accent.
Yeah.
It's too strong.
You want this chick from Virginia?
Yeah.
I'm Fresh Off the Boat.
Yes. I'm the fab girl. It was a beautiful moment when we fall in love, and he told me that he wanted to invest more in, you know, art and culture. So he wants to invest in a movie for me in China.
Oh, wow.
And that's just very attractive because he really believed in me.
Sure.
And he did it. He actually invested millions of dollars in a movie.
Were you studying acting in Kentucky?
I studied some theater, but I wanted to study in Hollywood. So I was studying with Howard Fine Acting Studio. I did serious training.
Were they concerned about the accent or anything?
He was at the beginning, but I was very devoted and I was learning the craft. I did very well. He made me do Lady Macbeth.
Oh, wow.
And I did great. Now it makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, I can see you in her. I'm like, what?
You can see what?
He can see me in Lady Macbeth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't understand why, but now it makes sense.
Tragic.
Yeah.
So it just didn't work out?
It was very good in the beginning. I think he tried to date a woman who would never date. He think I'm exciting. I'm new. I'm different. Mm. But once he got to know me, we got married and we had the first child. He doesn't want me to work anymore. He changed his mind. He changed his mind immediately. Mm. He think I'll be happy about it because most women want to marry rich men, have children and being taken care of, living a good life. I wasn't. I tried though. I actually, because I loved him so much, I decided to give up on everything I do because slowly he tried to convince me because you're not talented. That's why you never got a call back. Mm. Slowly he become my mom.
Oof.
Like, you are not talented. Your legs so short. Well, okay, you know, I wish you are taller. And then there's a requirement. Mm. He required me to make sure that I would never remove my makeup before he goes to sleep. I would never have no makeup on when he wakes up. Because I look different and tired if I don't have makeup on. Also, he forced me to get LASIK surgery. He said, I look
LASIK
good.
LASIK your eye?
Yeah, I didn't want to do it. I think glasses are cute and fun. Mm. And he basically wasn't okay with me wearing glasses. He said, you look too unattractive. And there's technology can take care of that ugliness. I think you should just give up on being ugly.
And did that happen all of a sudden or was it slowly? And when did you really think, I can't take this anymore?
I think we get physical because I hit him. It was a show I want to do. It's me going to do this show that's very important to me. And when I just got passed at the Laugh Factory, my face is on the marquee for the first time. Mm. It was a big moment for me from an open micer to there. Mm. It took me less than 2 years. I was so excited. I was actually dressing up, trying to wear a nice outfit. He said, you know, you stutter, right? I used to stutter when I was a child, when I was in school a little bit. Because I was not comfortable.
You were traumatized.
But I actually got rid of it. I said, yeah. But, you know, I was young. I don't do it anymore. He goes, there's an article. There's like for major public speak, somebody with a stutter all of a sudden because they used to. This is a science. I said, what do you mean? He's like, I think you should not do it tonight because you may stutter and it's embarrassing. I start stuttering. I said, you can't say that in Chinese. He started copying me. And all of a sudden, I couldn't handle anymore. I slapped him on the face hard. His glass fell off. It's the first time I hit him. It's the first time in our marriage, our relationship, things got physical. So he grabbed my neck and started choking me in the sink. So I hit him with a cutting board. The secretary cutting board, not big. Nobody died. My mom saw that. She was in like the other side of the house. She came out. She threw a vase at him. And then I walked to him. I said, I'm going to go to my show. And we'll be divorced tomorrow. Lawyer will be calling you. And whatever, I won't be home tonight. And let's just figure out what to do. And that's it.
You guys had two kids at that point?
Yeah.
Yeah. And reasonably, right? I mean,
we were kind of separated at the second kid because I kind of, after the baby was born, I just had a baby like 3 months later. I just had Margot. She just had a second baby. I literally just gave birth to the second baby.
When this happened?
When Margot was 3 months old, I think.
That's when this fight happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when people become physically, when there is physical domestic violence, that kind of thing, separating the couple is the number one thing we do. And then deciding if they could get it back together. But leaving is not a bad thing when mm-hmm. it gets to that point.
I wanted to make it clear that he was never physical. I don't want my children to think my father is a monster. He's not. I hit him first.
Yeah.
And he was disgusting for mocking me, stuttering.
Yeah.
So I hit him.
Yeah.
I hit him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think after that, I was done. It was like when my father's mistress shaved my head. I was done. I decided to be on my own. That's when I started to really focus on school. After I got shaved, my head would become like short. I started to study very hard at school.
And then in this case, after your husband hit you, you started really going...
Comedy.
Comedy.
20 hours a day. Full scale. Nonstop.
That's when you bought the shop, bought the...
I already
club.
Bought it after the first child, but there was a pandemic. It closed. I went back harder than ever. I hit harder than ever.
Did he buy that for you?
He wasn't supportive about it, but it was very cheap. I leased it. I was paying rent. I spent like $50,000 probably. You know, I had a lease. I
didn't. You still have it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it. It's doing well.
Oh, good. And so let's talk about comedy for a second. You said you talked about the incident with the prostitute as being funny, even though you described it in not funny ways, right?
Yeah.
I don't. How is it funny?
I think when I say it's funny, so it doesn't hurt me as much.
So comedy is a way of dealing with pain, which is a common thing for people to do, right? Comedians really do that well. That's sort of their fundamental craft is comedy comes from pain oftentimes. Yeah.
Yeah. I say it's funny, so I don't feel like a victim.
But is that still where your comedy is coming from?
It is. It is. My head was shaved, and I literally just, all the boys were laughing at me. My mom just said, wear a hat. You know, you're not prettier with long hair either. You know, just shut the fuck up. I have nobody to turn to. I don't know who to talk to. So I said that I should be the best in school. I have to be the best in school. So I just start studying. People don't talk to me. I don't talk to them. And then I was very good. And then my mom came to me and she goes, you know, your father isn't having an affair, right? I said, I know it a long time ago. She goes, this girl has to leave. I said, what's going to happen? So then I become, when she talked to me, I'm like, my mom talked to me now. Oh, I feel so happy. I would give everything I have to help her. I said, mom, what can I help you with? She goes, we have to send her away. I said, how do we do that? My mom said, it's very hard. She's young. And she has nothing to lose. So what I think is that most of the Chinese girls who become a prostitute, they worry that their village would know what they do and they would never get married again. But if they have money, it's different. I'm going to throw money at her and lure her to leave. So my mom bought the prostitute jewelry, gold, and gave her cash too. Said, if you leave right now, this is a ticket to your hometown. You have enough money to buy a house to get married and start a family like a normal girl. If they call here, we'll just say you are working in the restaurant. You are a waiter.
Yeah.
So that girl, and this, my mom also talked to her family. Her parents tell them what she did. So they came to the hotel to get her. So she left.
Was that a traumatic experience, that whole episode?
I went to her place to do the revenge. I went to her, before my mom gave her the jewelry, I went to her house and I took all of her stuff, nice stuff. I said, I'm going to keep all of it. Fuck you. You come in here. So she tried to hit me. I bit her on her arm. It was fun. I enjoyed it a lot. But now I think it's just childish. But back then it was a huge moment for me to bite her on her arms. She's so pretty and I wish I looked like her. I really don't like her. Whenever I draw pictures, whenever I think about somebody beautiful, I always draw her. Because my father wants to spend every moment with her. He didn't want to look at me. I have in Chinese class, we would have the kids to write, they would give you objectives or like always, it's like learning English, you know, always, sometimes, rarely. I read this sentence, I always love to do my homework sitting next to my dad in his office. That makes me happy. I remember she was reading my homework. She's laughing. She's like, that's what you want? You are so boring. But that's what I wrote. I was so happy because she makes him happy because he gives her my mom's money so she can buy things. He feels like a man and she's never abusive towards him. He's the guy she look up to. And that's when my father sometimes shows being a big man, he would just hold my hand and buy me some firecrackers and do something with me and let me do homework next to him and don't yell at me, don't scream at me, and just sometimes hold me and help me with calculus because he's so good at it. He never read my homework. And that was some real moment that was, it's fucked up because there's a horror next to us.
Well, both the way, it was how you connected with him.
Yes.
But do you notice when you talk about this, you severely dissociate, right? You feel that?
I just feel pathetic because that's the best moment I have is my dad and there's a fucking prostitute next to us.
It's not pathetic. It's not pathetic. It is sad, but it's survival, right? It's what you had to do to survive.
So.
But let me tell you something. I feel the pain underneath this. There's a lot of pain under there. In fact, I can barely tolerate it when I think about it. So I'm guessing you have the same thing. It's just intolerable, right?
I just channel everything to work. If I work more, if nobody want me, I can still be okay. Mm-hmm. I can still be wanted. I can still have a place to stay. Mm-hmm. I can still have nice things.
You'd be safe.
I want to buy nice things to my mom. Mm-hmm. I still want to. I always want to give her nice things. Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted. I think the best revenge I want to give her is that she always tell me, you cost me all my money because of you. I can't leave your father. If I never had you, I have to marry the man I loved who respect me. It's always my problem when I went to America. So I ruined her life because I went to America. I gave her a lot of pressure. Mm. Even though I was on myself later on, but I always want to give my mom something. I want to give her a big, big box, wooden box of roses, like 1,000 roses on top. And then when she moved the roses, there's a lot of like $100,000 in cash in the bottom. So she can just look at it. I'll just tell her, fuck you. I don't owe you shit, bitch. And of course, I'll give her more things.
So
she can
going.
Make me more next month.
But it's never ending though, right?
I don't think it will be ever ending because
she has her own shit.
I just channel all the anger into work. I guess that's why sometimes when I see somebody who's quote unquote weak, I just don't have a lot of patience and I use my standard to measure them. I make them feel like a failure, but I don't mean to. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me because I feel like if you are miserable because you are not strong enough, you are not doing well enough, you know, let me help you. Let me stop being a weak little bitch, you know?
Well, I feel like in your comedy, that's kind of what you do, right? You call people out. You see, you're very good at seeing soft spots.
Yeah.
And
I think I'm a hawk. I'm a snake. I'm like a predator. When I right. see weakness, right. I know it.
Right. And but you make fun of it, and it's a way of getting people to look at themselves, right?
I think so. I think they need some Chinese tough love, but not much. Not as much. They need 10% of the toughness.
I was going to say, if you were actually doing tough love, I wouldn't want to be the object of it.
Yes.
It wouldn't be funny.
I think so.
It would not be funny. But you have found a way to make it funny.
I think
Think about the other thing about humor, in addition to coming from a place of pain, is it has to be a truth. You have to expose a truth.
Yeah.
And that's what that's what you're able to do, right? That's what that hawk vision is able to let you do.
I think because I'm willing to rip myself open so people can see exactly what I'm about. Mm. I don't want to be in a higher ground to judge people. Mm. People know that well. Mm. Because I think I'm the only person talk about being a dumpster baby. Things like that, being people not wanted. My father.
You talk about a lot of things that a lot of people don't talk about, and you make it funny, and so that's why we can hear the truth. Mm-hmm. The funny makes it digestible, right?
Yes, I also feel like I expose American people to the Chinese savage tough love.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's the solution.
Well, but I think you should do more of that because we are not used to channeling our pain in productive ways.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm good at it, and I wanted to expose them to the tough love that I don't want them to do what I do, but they can also see what other people are suffering. So when you are lazy, you don't want to walk, you should walk first. You should take a walk every morning first, before and after meal, and before you take any medication. I just think that's what if somebody who's just, I know well, like somebody who I know just had a baby, who is gaining like 150 pounds. Mm. And she told me, she said, I was sad too. as you have to walk before you get up, after you get up, before you eat, after you eat. You just have to walk. Just walk 1 minute, 2 minutes.
It's, you know, my former or current partner, Adam Carolla, always says that the world is sort of, the United States, is kind of separated into what he calls safe spaces and octagons. So a lot of us are taking cold plunges and saunas and walking, and the rest are just sort of drifting and taking medication.
Yes. I know I'm not popular with some of my friends, but they know what I mean. I'm like, this is hard. Having a child is very difficult. Mm. You can't get out from the couch and walk, it's gonna go downhill from here if you are not gonna do that. Yeah. I'm not saying how much weight you gain.
Yeah.
You have to do this for yourself.
Yeah.
Because it's gonna, the pills, if you never were depressed, now you are depressed. We do that first. If you, after you walk, after you take care of yourself, you eat healthy, you still are depressed, take the pills, but do that first.
Did you see that, what you're talking about in Americans, as soon as you got here, or is it something that you came to?
So I got here, I had this lady who was, she was just like in my class. I think she's 300 pounds. Mm-hmm. She's my height. And we were going to this little spring break, a little picnic together by the lake, by the Red River Gorge, whatever that was. So we were driving, and then on the way, we were driving together. She said she's so thirsty. So there's a McDonald's. So I bought water, an ice water. She got Coke and cheese broccoli soup. So she drinks the Coke. It's sugar, everything.
Sugar Coke, yeah.
And then she was drinking the soup. And then she said, I'm still thirsty. I said, you should have water. She's like, no, I don't drink water.
Why?
I said, why? She goes, it tastes disgusting. So that was the first time I heard people don't drink water.
Yeah.
I didn't want to say anything because I don't want to be rude. But that's, I've never heard that before. It's disgusting. There's people don't have safe water to drink.
You should. Do you write down all your thoughts about sort of the weaknesses that you come across? In
I should write down that
because I see flashes of it in your comedy coming out, but I feel like you ought to be systematic with it.
Yeah,
it would do us all some good.
I think so. I should. That's weakness. That's just the. If she was my kid, she's not allowed to touch Coke. If she drink Coke, I'm gonna slap the shit out of her.
It's be careful
legal.
With that.
It's not legal. So
be careful with that. We've talked about what that does to kids.
No legal. No hitting children. Because that's make them becoming me.
Dissociate. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I will do whatever it takes to make sure my daughter don't feel like how I feel.
Okay, good.
But she doesn't deserve to feel like what I feel.
But be careful. It's inevitable that some of it gets through. Just the way it works. Kids feel what their parents feel, and then they feel responsible for it.
That's, yeah. So I was shocked. And then you
dismissed what I just said.
Yeah.
Why?
I think because whenever something makes me feel
uncomfortable,
I just move past it.
So it's okay that your kids feel your pain, but you have to be careful with it because they'll feel somehow they're responsible. Somehow.
So then they can feel guilty about it.
Guilty or wanting to parent you, which is not good for kids because they need the parent, that kind of stuff. You just got to watch out for it. That's all.
Yeah.
And you have to be aware of it. If you dismiss it, it'll get you. It'll happen.
I have to be aware of it. I don't want them to be like me.
Mm. And by the way, did you have a therapist?
I have a therapist. I had a therapist since last year. That's the first time in my
life. Is it he or she?
It's a she.
She. Does she sit in
Zoom meeting.
But Zoom. You can't really do what we're doing right now through Zoom.
Yeah, I should go to her office.
Yeah. Because do you get into this heavy material?
Heavy, but not like this.
Mm. You need a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of it that you still...
I still try to hide.
What?
I still try to hide from it.
Not just hide from it. You cut it off.
I cut it off.
Yeah. And you have to let it come out and process it.
It's like why I resist going to the gym to work out. I don't want to go because I'm afraid if I go to the gym, I work out every day and I'm still a piece of shit. That means there's nothing I can do to save my life.
Well, that's an interesting place to go. Why do you only go there in relation to the gym?
Gym or like doing yoga, anything good for my body, I try to not do it as much because that can be a solution to explain my failures. If like right now, I don't look the best and I don't behave the best, I don't have my life I want it, I'll just always be like, oh, it's because I don't work out enough. I don't do yoga. If I do yoga, I meditate. Oh, watch out, bitch. I'm going to be the best. I wouldn't be saying things, hurt people's feelings. I'll be together. I won't be late. No. But if I do that, I'm still late. I still have all the flaws I have now. I think I can't handle it.
Yeah.
That's self-sabotage, obviously.
But all your flaws are really just feeling that you have flaws. They're not actually having flaws. It's feeling that you have flaws.
I think my relationship with my marriage is a nail on the coffin for me.
Was a nail in the coffin?
For me to really, really, really lose hope. And I trusted him. For the longest time, I let him tell me that my legs are too short, my face too wide.
Yeah, but good. You stood up to that eventually.
It took a long time, longer than
But you were very accustomed to that from your mom and your dad.
Yeah, so
I didn't know.
I didn't know it was a red flag.
Yeah, you wouldn't even notice it compared to what you've been raised with.
He cared about me. Mm-hmm. He didn't want me to get fat after the baby. That's really sweet.
Caring.
Yeah, he gave me a membership of all the gyms, membership. He have everything just like on the table. He'll give me a membership card and he took the rice bowl away while I'm eating a month after I have the baby. Mm. I gained 20 pounds after the baby.
It's nothing.
Yeah, so I felt that because I trust him, then I know it hurts me. I don't understand why I can't compute why I feel bad when he called me fat or ugly or like I look different with no makeup.
Because you're so used to it. Frankly, the sum of what you experienced as a love relationship.
I really loved him and I kind of gave him everything I have. Mm. I wasn't going to have children before I'm successful. Mm. I gave up for him.
Gave up.
My dreams of becoming successful before I have children.
As an actress?
Yes, as an actress.
But you found a new and creative way to be successful.
Yeah, but I wasn't successful as a comedian when I met him. I wasn't doing anything. I just loved him so much. That's what he wanted. He wanted kids. He wanted to have kids. I made a compromise I would never make if I didn't open my heart to him. Mm. But now I think it's a good thing. I have those two beautiful children. I'm so grateful.
I would also argue that even though it didn't work out, it was good to open your heart to him. I know you're so conflicted about those things. It's hard for you to see it as good and painful, but it was a good thing.
Yeah, because I lost a lot of weight.
Because
I lost so much weight from him abusing me.
No, I'm talking about that. So tell me, I'm just curious more about comedy, where that's motivation is coming from. Why comedy? Was there a moment where you thought comedy is helping me or I have a talent? It's interesting when you talked about wearing that beret that they tore off and all the boys laughed. I think some part of you thought I could take control of that.
Yes. Yes.
The laughing.
I knew it. I knew when they laughed, I can't come back from that. There's nothing more shameful and abusive. They start throwing things at me.
But you could master it.
Yeah.
Master the laugh.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the moment I became strong. I became in control of my life. And I knew. I think when I was little, I don't know. I think I have some, I guess every performer has some sort of narcissistic traits.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you have something about it.
I think I have something about it.
Yeah.
Because when I was a little girl, whenever somebody is getting the attention, I'm envious. Mm. I wish I'm that person on stage.
Jealous, but envy.
Envy.
You wanted to knock her down.
I wanted to just push her away so I could be there. I don't want her to die.
So like a light envy.
Yeah, light envy.
Yeah.
Very jealous.
Yeah, jealous.
Severe jealous.
Very jealous, some envy. Yeah.
Some envy. So I wanted to be as good as everybody who's getting the attention.
Well, see,
work hard for it.
But that's what jealousy does. It makes you motivate to do what those people are doing, not just destroy them, but beat them.
So more jealousy.
Yeah.
Jealousy.
I think that's right.
I see this little girl. She's good at painting and the classes. The teacher says she's a genius. Mm. And they had her painting on the wall. Mm. I look at that painting. I just stand there, just stare at it like this. I went home and I just start to beg my grandpa to take me to the library to find the painting book. So I find the more sophisticated one and I paint the same thing, but better. I go to the teacher replaced my painting with it. I was so happy.
She liked it?
The teacher liked it.
Good.
Okay. Everybody liked it. The little girl who was replaced by me didn't like it, but I didn't care. I just need to be celebrated.
But think about all that strength that you have that, you know, a lot of people couldn't do that. Not only wouldn't be able to muster the strength to do it, you have all these talents, all these abilities that you can call upon to go compete and do these things and take care of yourself.
But I feel like maybe the other people who don't have it, because they are enough.
Because they
are enough. They feel enough.
Well, that's but that's where we started this conversation.
Yeah, I don't
feel
enough.
Which is when you have low self-esteem, you never feel like you're enough. You never feel like you're enough. And so that's not a bad thing. It makes you work hard. It makes you take responsibility for things. It makes you judge, you know, I must be responsible for this in some way because, hey, it's me. You know, so I'm a fan of low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of unregulated, painful emotion that is.
I regulate my low self-esteem by achieving goals.
Yes, that's what everybody does. That's how you manage self-esteem that's low. You either get depressed or you rise above it and it doesn't bother you so much. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't. I'm not really aware of it anymore. When I was young, I was aware of it. But your pain sort of perpetuates the low self-esteem feelings, you know.
Mm-hmm. I
think you can't, in other words, you can't even appreciate all your success.
I don't appreciate it all. Right. After the Apollo, I got a standing ovation. I got off the stage. I start crying. I'm like, I'm the worst person ever performed here. Yeah. I'm the worst person ever performed here. Like, there are all the important people. What should I do to be not a loser?
Yeah.
I didn't feel anything.
So there's an emotion we haven't talked about yet, which is shame.
Very, very shameful.
Which is what you're talking about. Yeah, when you come off the stage, your shame doesn't match the appreciation that the audience had for you. Mm-hmm. So you feel the shame.
Mm-hmm. I think they are going to find out I have no talent.
Right. They're going to see what a shameful piece of shit I am.
They will know eventually. Mm.
That's all bullshit.
That's why I have to work harder.
That's all bullshit.
And write more and do
better. That's all bullshit, right?
Thank you. I hope.
That you can just simply call out. Mm-hmm. That is bullshit.
Yeah, I always
that is you playing games with yourself. That's there's certain things you don't have to stand for.
Me abusing myself.
Well, just there's certain stuff that is just you're so smart. I can call on that and go, that's just not true.
Yeah,
that's not true, and you can see it's not true. So it's bullshit, and that's not. It's weak to cave into bullshit.
Yeah,
it's weak. So you can't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah,
it's bullshit.
I'll celebrate it.
But the shame is there. The shame is real. And that's one of the side effects of the abuse is shamefulness, feeling ashamed.
I was always witty. Since I was young, I had a gift for language. My grandpa taught me poetry when I was learning
Chinese language
poetry when I was speaking. So when I was three, I can quote poetry. I memorize things. My grandpa just keep teaching me. The more he teaches, the better I learn. The more I quote poetry, the more people are impressed about me being a prodigy. And I enjoy being a prodigy so much. And I devoted my whole time learning, memorizing all the poetries from Tang Dynasty, Song Dynasty, all of it.
So one of your things is being a great student. How do you study comedy?
Right now, as studying comedy, is that I channeled all of my savage communist athlete motivation. I train myself like an athlete, and I believe in the craft. Before I can even call myself a comedian, I need to have 10,000 hours under my belt just to learn how to hold a microphone and be on stage and have a presence.
Right.
So
do you think of jokes? Are you crafting jokes? Are you?
Yes. I find a.
Do you have a book that you keep? Notes in that
I
kind
have
of thing.
20 different books that I keep losing them and then I end up just memorizing everything because I can't find anything. That's one thing of my toxic traits. I can't find things.
Well, that could be one of the dirty little secrets about ADHD is people that have trauma usually have ADHD.
I think so. I really think I do.
Or ADD. Really ADHD,
I think I do. I can't find anything, but I'm memorizing my mind.
Yeah, it's good. Well, you have that strength to compensate for it.
Everything is in my mind. So for comedy, I knew when my head was shaved by my father's whore, that was when I only can be the best. I have to be the best student in class. I can get respect by everybody. They will be my friends again because they had to copy my homework. Mm. And so I studied every day. I didn't play. I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very smart with science and math and physics. I memorized them.
You weren't very smart?
They're not much.
You said you could do calculus easily.
I can because I just don't sleep and memorize them. I study harder than other people.
You studied the equation. How far did you go in calculus? Integral calculus, where you're memorizing those big equations? Or
I memorize them, but I forget about them. Yeah, the way my heart about the equations is that I can memorize them, I forget about in a few weeks.
Yeah. Did
but
you play an poetry, instrument? Did you play an instrument?
No, I wasn't allowed because my finger was too short.
Failure.
Yeah, my finger was too short. In fact, my mom didn't even give me. She's like, "Your fingers
don't
look
good." Have that short of fingers.
I don't know why, but she's like, "They are too short and fat, so you can't play because you look ugly on pianos."
Oh my god, she's consistent if nothing else.
She is.
She just does not miss a beat.
So I think of with calculus, I was good because I memorized over and over and over. But for poetry, I'm gifted. I read one time, I remember it. My heart flows with the words, and I know how to rhyme. I know how to make a haiku. Like,
can you do it in English?
Yes, I wrote English poetry too.
So maybe there's a way to combine poetry and comedy. Mm-hmm. You know, some sort of.
I would love to, but I'm very embarrassed about my English poetry. But it's actually not bad. I think.
But maybe if you made it funny.
Yeah, I think
you wouldn't be embarrassed anymore.
Yeah, like Suzanne Somers.
Suzanne Somers, what
she did a poem.
She did what?
She wrote the poetry.
She did?
About people should not be having babies. They should adopt dogs. It's funny.
I don't
it's
remember cute. That. I didn't know about that. But that's...
Yeah, her stepson is a girlfriend of mine. So I have a lot of her towels in my room house.
Did you meet her?
Her leopard towels. I was supposed to meet her.
She was lovely.
She's
lovely
wonderful lady. Yeah. Wonderful.
And her husband too.
Yes.
Sad that suddenly, bam, pow.
So yeah, shame. I write the poetry. I train like an athlete.
Let me tell you something else that's happening. So a lot of... What informs me when I'm talking to somebody about heavy stuff is how I feel, mm-hmm. right? That's sort of what your body's telling me things. And one of the things I'm experiencing now is exhaustion. Does this stuff exhaust you? All this pain and this stuff?
All the pain exhausts me.
How do you push through it?
I just go work more.
It's hard.
It's hard because the feeling don't go away. Whenever I achieve something, I don't feel the achievement.
But I feel like my whole body wants to like lie down.
Yeah.
What do you do when you feel like that? But lie down, I guess, right?
I think I just
do you ever lie down and just lean into it?
I lie down, but I don't lean into it. I try to not think about it. Even I started going to yoga class. When I meditate.
What kind of class?
Yoga.
I thought you were afraid of yoga.
I start trying a few sessions. I still try not to go. Whenever I go, when I lay down, I still don't relax.
Hmm.
I still think about, okay.
Yeah, of course.
We should have fixed that joke.
Do you know, one thing we've not talked about, and I was not feeling while we were talking, but I felt it earlier today, anxiety.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of anxiety?
I do. I have a lot of anxiety, a lot.
But is it anxiety or is it agitation or is it, what is that?
It's some feeling I don't know how to get rid of. It's the feeling of...
is it harriedness? Like you got to move, go all the time, go.
Yeah, yes. If I'm not doing something, I feel guilty, ashamed, very ashamed.
And if you ever sit still, that's when the anxiety kicks in, right?
I don't want to waste time. Mm. I feel like if I sit here doing nothing, I'm wasting time and disappointing everybody.
Mm. Everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Who's everybody?
Like the kids. I see
your kids.
Yeah, I need to do more for them because so they don't have to live.
They're not here.
Yeah, if I'm working, I can make more money so they can live a better life.
I see.
So I feel because I have them now and I need to give them the best.
Mm.
And my mom and my grandparents, I'm supporting them and I'm redoing my grandpa's house so it's more comfortable for his. He has this chair thing.
Were you seeing something? Were you thinking of something?
I'm seeing you, and I felt really, I felt in a very safe place.
Okay.
Like I felt that I'm going towards some place that can ease my pain.
Okay.
Somehow.
So do you feel like it's unfamiliar and you're like looking for a way out or something?
I think I'm smart, so I know something is wrong. I need to find a way to live a life to be a human being, to actually being, rather than being a human busy robot.
Human doing.
Mm. I'm a robot. I don't enjoy life. I deserve to enjoy life. I do.
You don't enjoy life?
I mean, I do.
Sometimes?
I enjoy life sometimes.
You get to do a lot of fun stuff. You travel. Yes.
Yeah.
Although I don't know how you handle a travel. Every time I look up, you're some part of the other part of the country. It's like
I should appreciate everything I achieved more.
Yes, you should appreciate
when I was a little girl.
If you can find ways, if you can find small opportunities for gratitude, it's very important. It's very healthy.
Yeah, I need to do that more because that I'm living the dream I wanted as a little girl to become a pretty girl. That's that one.
So you're
thing.
A pretty girl. You're on stage.
It's everything.
You're doing something sort of more better than acting because comedians are sort of the rock stars right now. Mm-hmm. You're participating in all that.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
The little girl in me would be so proud.
And you're just getting started.
Yeah. Wait until I can speak English. I'll be so good in English.
When you can speak English? do you work on your accent? Because there are accent specialists, people who can help you.
Yes. Yeah. I want to take a literature class from UCLA. I wanted to take more classes about the English language, about a lot of literatures.
I just read it.
I think I should read more.
You can go on YouTube. There's so much on YouTube. I've been going crazy studying the French Revolution for the last 6 months. And there's just more and more and more stuff online. And it's a golden age of being
such
able to do
luxury.
It yourself.
Hmm? I think it's such a luxury to just take my time to learn because now I'm working like a robot. I have to do
so much.
You
get on planes.
Work
why do you do comedy on the plane or why don't you read on the planes?
I think so. I should do that.
Yeah. Do you use your time on the planes?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. If I have to take a red eye, I'll just sleep. But if I don't, I always read and I listen to audiobook. I'm listening to a lot of like books about why I'm so fucked up.
Like
so
what?
Like a complex PTSD.
Oh.
I have this in the morning. When I wake up, I have it on a speaker.
But what is complex PTSD?
Like me.
I don't know I don't experience you as I see the PTSD, but complex PTSD is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more emotionally unregulated. Like you have a lot of dysregulation, but it's a little more all over the place.
Yes. Yeah, I was thinking about because I think I just kind of
I've not seen it, maybe not shown it to
I
me.
Think I learned that because I think my mom has it.
It could be.
So I can deal with her better.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Because she's not dying anytime soon. She's a Chinese woman. She lived forever. She'll outlive me, I think, because she's evil.
Aren't you a Chinese? Oh, okay. You're not evil.
She's pure evil. I'm Americanized.
So an evil Chinese woman lives forever.
Yeah, I'm kind of sweet. I just want to, so I can like come back to whenever she do something stupid, I can reverse engineer her and find out what the rules is.
Oh, I see. But if you understand the PTSD and the complex PTSD.
Yeah.
The problem is you have to kind of do what we're doing. You have to kind of find out what their specific stuff is to get at it.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Not everyone's open for it. I congratulate you for being willing to talk about it and show it to people.
I have to. It's too much pain because I did everything I can. I think I can solve the problem. I did not solve anything.
Mm.
It solved it.
I mean, it could have been worse.
It could be worse.
You could be non-functional.
Mm-hmm.
You could be not successful, struggling to survive financially. All these things could be also happening.
That'd be worse.
That's right. You're doing all these things. You're taking care of all these things. You have all this competency. You're doing it and you're able to do it.
Being miserable and poor is bad. I mean,
it would not be, it would, that's how people get in real trouble.
Yeah.
They just keep going down, 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 down. Yeah.
So I think we really solved something.
Hmm?
We really solved something.
I don't know that we solved it, but we've looked under the hood, you know, and given you something to kind of think about and work on. And the fact that you said you want to see a person in person, a therapist in person, that'll go a long way towards it.
Thank you so much.
You can read more about trauma.
I would love to. If
I can give you
book,
more people that you know write about that stuff.
Yes,
and how
I would
works.
Love to read more. I try to say that.
You know, you would like the book called Waking the Tiger. Waking the Tiger is called.
Oh, that's nice.
A guy named Peter Levine. That would be a good book for you.
I would love to read. I'll be reading it today.
Waking the Tiger.
Yeah, I'll be texting you about it tomorrow because I'm a
you'll have read it already.
Yeah. When somebody, I had a mail tell me to read a book, I'm like, that's a secret they have. I don't. I'll read everything.
Read it carefully.
I also read a lot of times, many times. Every time you read a book, it's different.
I know me too. I have to read stuff multiple times also. Yeah. But it's a privilege to be your friend. It's a privilege to be here letting you sharing this stuff and that I was sort of witness to all this and hope it doesn't expose you. You don't feel bad about it.
I feel great.
Good, you should.
I feel like I feel the first time I cried talking about it.
Mm.
I never cry when I talk about it. I laugh about it.
I felt it. I you communicate that to me and I felt it and it was It was a lot. It was painful. So painful that it made my whole body just want to lie down and go to sleep. But that's what you need to kind of slowly get at. Not all at once. It's all at once, it just overwhelms you and gives you more PTSD.
Can I have a hug?
Of course. Shoulders. I'm so old.
Where can we find Dr. Juice?
Find me at doctor.com. That's all there. And I'd love it if your people signed up at my Rumble channel. Ask Dr. Drew and Dr. TV. We do these.
Was the best.
Yeah. And we do this streaming show that my wife produces 3 o'clock, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And it's really been very interesting people. Zhao Ying was one of them.
It's amazing.
We're going to bring more people into the studio. We'll bring you back too.
Awesome.
Because we use some of these lights and we relit our whole studio. And it's isn't it crazy that you can sort of reach the world
I had so much fun. Yeah. That show is amazing. Sign up for Rumble channel.
The Rumble channel and YouTube also. We have YouTube. Same thing. Ask Dr. Drew. And what else? I'm working with a group called The Wellness Company, where I'm their chief patient officer. And we're trying to get stuff to patients. I'm sick of the medical system. The COVID showed me, I haven't gotten over COVID. I don't mean the illness. I mean the experience of what our governments all did to us. All of us, every country in the world, for weirdly. And we got to get the power back to the patients. So that's what wellness is all about.
Love that. Yeah. Thank you so much for all you do for the world and me.
And you.
I feel so lucky. Thank you. It's an honor to have you and your family in my life. Thank you guys so much. SummersComedy.com. Buy tickets to see my tour. Make sure you buy tickets so I don't have to go back to my husband.
Go see her. She needs your support, right?
I need the money so I can take a break.
So she can give her kids all that money so she doesn't feel guilty and shameful.
Yes.
See how that works?
It's your, my mom too. Yeah.
Well, we're not going to give the roses and $100,000 to the mom. We're not. I won't let her do that. No. I'm not going to let her waste your money that way. So,
but her 100K Korean money. It's a dollar. Thank you.